Choral concert in Scoil Phairg Naofa in Athy on Friday, September 25th. It'll be a charity concert raising funds for cancer and for FND, or functional neurological disorder. Musical director Eileen Doyle joins me now on the line. Eileen, good morning. Lovely to chat to you on the show.
Good morning, Hannah, and thank you for having me on your show today. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you coming on, Eileen. This charity concert is being held at the end of September on the 25th. Can you let us know a bit behind the idea for this concert? How did it all come about?
Well, I've always taught music in primary school. I taught in Scoil Mhaithil Naofa na Athy all my life and had children's choirs. And when I retired, about 11 years or more ago, I set up this adult choir. And we've always sung for charities and different things. But this year in particular, there was a little seed, as I say, growing in my brain, because there were two ladies in our choir who were going through the treatment of cancer and thankfully have come out smiling. And then the other charity that I wanted to do this concert for was, I suppose, selfishly enough, it's for a condition called FND, which I have myself. And while cancer is very well known about and there's huge medical input to it, there's very little known or awareness about FND, or functional neurological disorder, as we call it. So really, I suppose this concert, while it's fundraising for those charities, it's also making people aware of FND and what it is and that it exists out there and where we are currently, you know, with regard to looking after people and those who are living or trying to live every day with FND.
Of course. And Eileen, with yourself with FND, what exactly is it? How does it affect you?
Well, FND, it's a neurological condition, and it's basically, there's a problem with how the brain sends and receives signals to the rest of the body. It's actually, you know, it's the second highest ranking condition to be seen by a neurologist for, with migraine being the top, which surprised me, because I would have thought maybe Parkinson's, MS, motor neuron were ranking up there as some of the top ones. But no, migraine is the top and FND is the second. And yet, you know, lots of people, through no fault of their own, have never heard of it. Now, when I got my own diagnosis, Hannah, I was given an analogy to think about. I was told to think of my brain as a computer. And in FND, the hardware, which is the physical structure of the brain, is completely fine, undamaged, nothing wrong with the physicality of the brain. However, the software, which is how these networks communicate, there's a malfunction, or like I suppose to compare it again to a computer, it's like it's got a glitch. So that signals from the brain, you could get signals you don't want. And in my case, it was motor conditions that were affected. I was getting tremors in the legs and the arms, jerking of the body, facial tics. And I really did not know what was happening. And all this was occurring during COVID. So it was really, really, really difficult to get to see a neurologist.
I can imagine.
And I was going out of my mind, I have to admit, and be open and honest about it. I became depressed, I became anxious, I was getting panic attacks. And I think most of that, while I know it can be part of, but not always, FND, but I think it was because I didn't know what was happening. But the first neurologist, in fairness, he did every clinical test under the sun, and that's often the way with a diagnosis. They have to do that in order to exclude other conditions such as maybe Parkinson's or MS. But in my case, and in the case of a lot of other people who live with FND, all of these come back negative. So really, it's just such a difficult condition to diagnose, you know. He just was able to say, Eileen, I honestly don't know what's wrong. which makes you feel like you're left in limbo in a way, because you do want answers. You want to be able to put a name to it and move forward and do whatever is needed to do to help you manage your life.
Of course.
So, yeah, so I went to a second neurologist then. Now, he couldn't take me on as a patient because he was full, but he kindly saw me on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock because I was just so desperate to find some help somewhere. And he looked at the videos, because I had video evidence of what was happening with my body. He spoke to me and my husband, which I thought was lovely, observed what was happening with the tremors and things, did his exams and diagnosed the FND. So I must say the relief I felt at having a name for something, it was like two cement blocks going off my shoulders. So my next question to him was, right, where do we go from here? And his answer scared me because he said there is no treatment. You need to get a good GP, a good physio, and a good psychotherapist. And he gave me a website to look up when I was going home, and I was sent on my merry way, and that was it. So again, I said, where do I go from here? What do I do? So my symptoms then had begun to worsen at this stage too. My balance had started to become affected. I felt like I was falling backwards, you know, and it could come out of the blue. You could walk fine for a while, and all of a sudden then you had the sensation of falling backwards and thinking you were going to hit your head on the pavement or something. But in fact, my feet were not moving at all. They were not leaving the position on the ground that they were in. So that was new for me. But what saved me and what has me as good as I am now was a psychotherapist. He was just outstanding. He said, Eileen, the brain is it's a neuroplastic organ. You know, it can be retrained. We can try to bypass these wrong signals and make new ones to, you know, to get back to where you need to be.
Wow.
So it was like baby steps of saying, I'm lifting my foot, I'm putting it down, I'm safe, and doing that over and over and over. And it worked because for me, it was right-sided. And I was amazed and thrilled, of course. But then the brain isn't always your best friend.
Mm.
So it started on the left-hand side. But at least then I had a tool to deal with it. So I did the same procedure again and again and again, and it worked. And I said, right, I think I have a handle on this now. But then it affected both feet. So at that point, I really, really was nervous going out for a walk or anything. Mm. So I had stopped all that, which was not good for mental health, because you're not out communicating with people or meeting people. So I had to bite the bullet one day and say, you know, you can't stay going like this, really. You know, you just have to get up and do it and find ways of managing it. So when I go for a walk, I borrow, Claude is my daughter and she's a lovely little dog called Luna. So I borrow that dog, and once I have a lead to hold on to and I stay near a wall or a fence, I'm okay. And I think it's maybe when the brain feels it's safe, this is my interpretation of it now, that those bad signals, as I call them, don't come. And also I used to love playing golf. I used to play the 18 holes of golf, and I had stopped all that too. So now I am back, thankfully, and so happy to do so, playing nine when I'm able. And it's the trolley that you push keeps me grounded. The club acts, I suppose, like a little crutch or walking stick when I'm going from A to B. That keeps me grounded, and I manage to play that and enjoy it. And the best part of all, going in for the cup of tea and the chat with the friends afterwards then. So, you know, it's not an easy condition to live with.
No.
And because, I suppose, it's your whole central nervous system that's affected from the top of your head to the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes. And it's different for every person. There are no two people the same. Some people might have limb weakness or paralysis and be in a wheelchair. Others might have functional seizures, which look like epilepsy and behave like it. But if you were to do the brain scan at the time of it, there's no sign of it.
Mm.
And others like myself have the tremors. But what I found really difficult was, apart from the external ones, which are visible to people and they can see them and they see something's going on, there are also internal tremors, which I never knew about until I got them. And they're there 24/7, like your body is shaking from top to bottom inside. And that feeling is horrible, but, you know, you live with it and you get on with it. But other things then can also come along with FND. Say, from in my case, it's a condition called dystonia, which, while I'm managing the FND and working ways around it, the dystonia for me at the moment is the worst, because it's extremely painful. I suppose the only way I could describe it to you is, if you know, if you're asleep at night in bed and you wake up with an awful cramp in the back of your leg, and it's painful, but it passes, it goes away. But with dystonia, they're painful muscle contractions, which can come anywhere in the body. Mine is under the scapula and the shoulder and the neck. But they lock in position and they become, I suppose, like steel cables, and they're rigid. And the pain, I suppose, the central nervous system, because the brain signals with the FND are as they are. It's like turning up a knob, volume knob, on a radio maybe, and the pain intensifies. And you have that pain 24/7. It never, ever goes. Now, I suppose the gold standard treatment for that are the Botox injections, which I have been getting since 2023. You get them every 3 months under sedation. They did help a little in the beginning, but they're not working now. So, you know, the pain management consultant now is looking into other ways maybe of trying to just help with pain. You know, if I could get that helped, I think I would be really, really, really happy. But it's, I suppose, it's a journey too, and it's a process that you have to keep going and trying until you find something that works for you, you know?
Of course, Eileen. And just hearing about, you know, you describing it, and even the thing of trying to get a diagnosis and time again. On one hand, it's you're glad it wasn't something like Parkinson's or
That's
MS.
Right.
But I can imagine on the other hand, you're thinking, I just want to give this a name so I can get the treatment. But, and then you also mentioned the thing of, there are the physical symptoms that people might
That's
see
right.
on the outside, but it does sound like FND is also a hidden illness.
It is.
That can, and we've spoken to other people with other hidden illnesses, and they said that is a hard one to try and describe and almost try to validate someone's diagnosis, because they're thinking, is it all just me?
Exactly. At times, very much so in the early stages, you doubt yourself that you've got it. You doubt that your symptoms are real, even though the first thing when I was diagnosed, the consultant said, your symptoms are real and genuine. And you do believe that when you hear it. But, you know, when you're out and about, there's nothing external, like, I suppose, a broken leg in plaster or crutches or anything outward to be seen sometimes. And people will say, you know, how are you today? And I found myself saying, I'm grand, because I don't lie about being in pain. That's for real. But I do lie about being well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I suppose everyone has difficulties in their life, and you don't want to be bringing them down with your own story. You don't want to bring yourself down either by hearing you tell it each time. You just want to smile, stay going, find a management plan that works for you. You know, on a good day, and I'm sure this is true of every FND person, you're inclined to do the devil and all, as in, I love gardening, so I'll get out and I'll do a little bit today. Or, I love painting, I'll do a little bit of that. And then, for the next 3 days, you kind of suffer for it, I suppose. So you do have to try to manage it, you know.
Yeah.
And even yesterday, when I was playing a few holes of golf, people were saying, you look so well. And inside you are dying. But I just say, thank you so much. Yes, it's great. It's lovely to be out or whatever. You know, and I suppose mentally it helps you too to say out loud you're great, because you are great. You're out and about, you're in the fresh air. It's possibly one of your good days, you know, but it is the thing I found hardest maybe was people giving you advice, you know, saying, you know, you're fine. There's nothing wrong. You just need to ABC. And you know you physically can't. So I found that very, very difficult, I must say. But I didn't respond to it and say that won't work for me, because I don't think they understood what it was like to live with FND. And that's not their fault at all. They meant well. They were trying to be helpful and encouraging and get you back going again to the person you were. And, you know, it's coming from a place of kindness in their hearts too. But it's not what you need to hear when you're feeling horrible.
Of course.
That makes sense.
It does. And yeah. I suppose that does tie in now why we're speaking today about raising awareness for FND, and especially with the choral concert taking place later this month.
Yeah.
But just by talking about it, it's telling people about something that they haven't heard of, or maybe they didn't fully understand the ins and outs of it, and that it can be different for everyone who has FND. And I can imagine in one way it's probably a relief now saying that this concert is going on, and more people will be asking, oh, what is FND? What is this other diagnosis that you're fundraising for?
Yeah. And like, the FND Ireland has been set up by a man called Eamon McPartlin, who also lives with FND and dystonia like myself. I haven't met too many people with that. So I won't say I was glad to hear you had it, which is an odd thing to say, but it was good to find somebody else who had it. But he is an amazing person. He travels the length and breadth of Ireland. He's in and out of government circles, in and out of medical hospital circles, because while we have neurologists in Ireland, we did not have one who had a special interest in FND at all. And he has managed to bring on board Dr. Aoife Laffin, who works in St. James's Hospital in Dublin. And she has a particular interest in FND and people who live with it. Now, we are blessed to have her, but she is only one person. She's one human. She can only see so many people in a day. And unfortunately, she can only see people in her catchment area, which leaves the rest of Ireland with nobody, not one other neurologist with a special interest in FND. So that's our baseline as such, that we're trying to move up from that.
Yeah.
And Eamon has set up peer support groups throughout the country, which I attend for the Kildare one in Leixlip once a month. And I find them just so, so helpful and invaluable to me. And my husband can come too, which is great, because in a way, he's also living with it, because he's here with me each and every day, you know. So he sees what life is like. So it's wonderful that they can also attend these sessions. What I find helpful is that people there can speak openly and honestly about what's going on. Maybe I might have found a little trick or a little way around something that might help me, and I might share that. And somebody else might try it, and it might help them. So the sharing really, really helps, I suppose, emotionally and psychologically a lot. Now, Eamon is a huge advocate for those living with FND. He's raising awareness. He's now raising funds through a charity, FND Ireland. It became a charity in only 2023. My first little fundraiser was selling my paintings and my art and craft materials just locally in my house here. Friends, the choir, the golf ladies, the bridge ladies, everybody and anybody I could pull in from the community. And they were just so kind and generous and supportive and interested in finding out what it was.
Now, I suppose that's an important part, is knowing that people are interested.
But like, they were able to sit, have a cup of tea in the kitchen, chat about it. And like, I was worried initially, what am I doing? Maybe nobody will come. But it raised 5,500. which I was blown away by people's generosity. And I must say, in the town of Acai, doing that and doing this now, I am just so humbled by the kindness and the generosity of the people in the town of Acai. But I'm not great for asking for money or looking for money. I'm the world's worst. My choir would tell you that. But the people I've gone to, and I went to a lot of my past pupils first because I knew them so well, and then I went to friends and neighbours, and, you know, just I can't get over the kindness and support I've got, because my aim, I suppose, with this concert, apart from the advocacy and the awareness and the education of it, was to raise enough sponsorship to pay my bills for this concert. People don't ever think about the hidden costs behind doing something like this, but in my head, if I could cover my costs for running it, whatever then is made on the night is a clean 50-50 for the Irish Cancer Society and F&D Ireland. And that's my dream, that's my hope. And we're beavering away, hoping to get there. But I just really want to say a big thank you to the people in the town of Acai for their support for this and their interest in asking me, what is it? You know, that to me meant more than anything else. And also a big thank you to Eamon McPartland, because I know he has both conditions. I know he's one man, but he is, what's the saying, is it you're some man for one man or something? He's just tireless in his work for everybody who lives with this condition. I'm in awe of him, really. And I suppose I wouldn't be where I am today without his efforts either, because I had nowhere to go until I discovered this FND on FaceTime, or Facebook, I think it was, and rang him, and he said, yes, come along. And that has been a huge plus for me in learning to manage everything and to get on with my daily life, you know.
And Eileen, now for listeners interested in the choral concert being held later this month, what are the details for it? How can people get involved? And is it ticketed, or can they show up on the night?
Yes, they can indeed show up on the night. Now, the tickets are on Eventbrite. They're also in a local shop who always shows great kindness to and selling tickets for everything that's on, and that's called Winkles. It's on the corner there of our beautiful square where the Shackleton Museum is. You can't miss it. We also have tickets available from any of the choir members, so there's quite a good few sources for those tickets. Can I also say that the concert itself, while it's not just us, there are other choirs involved who are giving of their time and talent too. We have the Castle Comer Male Voice Choir. They have 50 men plus. I'm struggling to find men. So if there are any male singers out there, please make contact with me. I'd love to have you in the choir. We also have the Baldonnell Singers, who are coming from Dublin. And I was lucky in getting those because one of their members is a next door neighbour of mine, Joe Crowley. So I twisted his arm and he's involved. And ourselves, there's a most beautiful, renowned tenor, Paul Linehan, who lives local now. He's from Cork, but Cork's loss is Kildare's gain, I suppose. And he's coming. He's been a brilliant mentor in helping me set this up too, I must say. But it's like, and of course, the highlight of the night is the primary school choir, Scunthorpe Natives Choir. They're going to sing two very popular songs. I know one is from Kingfisher and one is from Coldplay, so they should go down very, very well. And I think it's just a beautiful amalgamation of all ages, all abilities. Like, we are a community choir, we don't audition. For me, the most important thing in the people in the choir is our camaraderie, our kindness to each other, the way we rally around each other if anybody is unwell or needs support. That to me is first and foremost the most important thing in the choir, well above music, even though music to me is important. And the choir are fantastic. We had a rehearsal last night and they were just buzzing. I'm just so excited for it, really, to start happening, you know, and for people to see what can be done, I suppose, when a little seed starts and grows legs. I know my daughter, Clodagh, was really, really helpful on the tech side of it because I'm not good at that. And she's arty, so she designed the posters and did Facebook and all that stuff I haven't a clue about. But she just she said the other day, "Mom, please don't get another seed in your head now for a little while. I need a break. This has been more stressful than my final exams for my college years." So you forget, like, I'm retired, I'm not working. I've time now for all these little ideas to pop into the head and grow legs.
Yeah.
And the people who are helping me out are working and doing a day job as well. So I have to really keep reminding myself about that, you know, because they're just so good and so kind and they don't say no.
Mm.
But as Clodagh said, "Mom, you really don't take no for an answer. You just kind of, when they don't say no, you take it as a yes."
Of course,
so,
and that's the way to
and
do
that's
it.
That's the way you get things done, yeah.
Eileen, yeah, it sounds fabulous, the concert taking place on September 25th. And I have to say, you're so eloquent in describing F&D and just your whole story with it and then still raising awareness for it as well. And we wish you the best of luck now on September 25th for the choral concert in Scolfarg, Naifa, Inathai. Again, that is Friday, September 25th at 7.